Well, good morning, and thank you so much for being here. As Susan mentioned, I traveled to Boulder on their invitation in early 2011 and had just a marvelous time. Thank you for letting me know back there. Better? Very good. Okay. As Susan mentioned, I traveled to Boulder in early 2011 and had the pleasure of meeting with many of the wonderful folks there working on their campaign. I'm from the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, so as you may imagine, was very turned on by their pursuit of more local control over their energy decisions. And through a lot of different conversations and discussions and work with people here in Minneapolis, where the Institute is based, we have, as Ken mentioned, formed this coalition called Minneapolis Energy Options to explore a lot of the same questions that they've done in Boulder. And so what I'm hoping to do this morning is give you a little introduction to what we're working on, some of the rationale that we feel we have in common with the folks in Boulder, and just to give you a little more background for what we're doing and a chance to learn more both today and going forward. So let's take a quick poll to start this off. In the city of Minneapolis, we have some local energy, and I'm going to give you a chance to guess how much local energy you think we have. A combination of wind and solar, just so we're looking at different technologies. How many folks think that we have just 1 kilowatt or less of local energy? Anyone taking on that? How about 1 megawatt or less, or about 1 megawatt? A few hands up. What about 10 megawatts? All right. And how about 100 megawatts? Some very bold people. I love you guys. The correct answer is 1 megawatt. It's about 1 megawatt. It's almost entirely solar. We don't really have any wind power in Minneapolis, which is probably good because, frankly, those wind turbines are pretty tall, and I don't think they would be very popular here. Your fun fact is that Gainesville, Florida, which is a municipal utility, has about 10 megawatts of local solar. They're a population about one-third the size. I'll talk a little bit more about some other good examples of municipal utilities that are doing some amazing things with clean energy along the way here. So we don't have a whole lot going on for renewable energy here in Minneapolis so far. But that's not to say that we're not getting some clean energy. Obviously, statewide, we get about 18% of our electricity from wind and solar power, the result of our 2007 renewable portfolio standard that was passed by the state legislature and requiring Xcel to hit various targets on the way to 30% renewable by 2020. So it may not be in the city of Minneapolis. As I've noted here, about 1% of the electricity in the city of Minneapolis comes from renewable resources that are actually within the city's borders, but we're part of their larger supply that gets about 18% renewables. And of course, there are a few great examples. This is the Convention Center solar array. This one is on the Reuse Center at on Hiawatha and Lake Street. And I don't actually know where this one is, but I think this is very representative of how we feel about clean energy and our campaign, that we are very excited when we see solar anywhere in the city of Minneapolis. And if anybody knows who this woman is, I want her as part of our campaign, by the way. So speaking of our coalition, here are the organizations and neighborhood groups that so far have signed on officially. We're in conversation with many, many more as part of our work. So you can just get a sense of the different kinds of organizations, youth organizations, environmental, economic development, and neighborhoods so far that are already participating in our work. If you haven't heard it of us much before, that's probably because this is our first really big event. So we're really just getting off the ground and trying to tackle some of these very big issues. So let me give you a little background of why we're here. And you'll note that there are some very interesting similarities to what Susan had to tell you about Boulder. First of all, we're at a crossroads. You know, we have this trend so far. We have policies in place that have gotten to us to 18% clean energy, wind and solar power in the state of Minnesota. But what's fascinating about what they're looking at in Boulder and what Susan didn't mention is that in a lot of the studies that they did about where they thought they could get to in terms of clean energy, they were talking about numbers like 40% clean energy, 40% of their electricity from clean wind and solar power effective immediately with no change to their rates. So we have, I think, an opportunity to go a lot further than we've gone so far on clean energy to more aggressively meet the city's climate change goals than we've ever imagined before. And where we're at right now is that we have these things called franchise agreements that Susan mentioned. For those of you who aren't familiar, What they essentially do is set up a monopoly where one utility is given the authority to provide electricity or gas service. So Xcel Energy is our electric utility. CenterPoint is our gas utility in the city of Minneapolis. And these are long-term contracts. They're generally for 20 years. And the result of the franchise is in exchange for the use of public property, public right-of-way, in order to deliver those services, the city receives about $23 million a year into its general fund, or as Susan mentioned, it's called the franchise fee. And as I mentioned, it's a 20-year contract. So every 20 years, the city has to sit down and renegotiate this contract. And many times in Minneapolis and in other cities around the country, there's not a lot of discussion around it because people really haven't thought about what they could actually put into a franchise agreement, what could be part of that conversation, and how it might play a role in meeting some of the city's other goals in terms of clean energy or local decision making. One thing I think that's really important to point out is that we're not just talking about the $23 million that goes to the city's general fund. We're talking about, in total, about $450 million a year that Minneapolis homes and businesses spend on energy, well, whether that's for electricity or for gas service. And that not a whole lot of that actually stays within the city of Minneapolis. That these are investor-owned utilities that have shareholders, where the profits will go. That in at least the case of one of them, their headquarters is located in Texas. And so a lot of our energy decisions and a lot of our energy money is leaving our community. And of course, as I mentioned before, and as we all guessed at, and maybe we're a little bit disappointed, not so much of the clean energy that we have is actually built here in the city of Minneapolis. And so we have a choice in front of us about what direction do we want to go? Are we interested in continuing the same relationship that we've had for many years, or do we maybe want to have a change? Maybe want to have a conversation about what our choices are, what our options are. And right now we sort of see there being essentially three different options. The first one is that we can simply renew our franchise agreements without any changes, that we can accept the status quo, that our energy decisions will be made by somebody else, and that we hope that we can reach our climate goals in cooperation with them as much as that cooperation can be obtained. We can talk about negotiating as Boulder tried to do, things like getting more clean energy or maybe boosting energy efficiency investments, particularly in low-income neighborhoods where we could not only see the economic benefits of that activity but also help a lot of ratepayers for whom energy expenses are such a large part of their budget. Or we could look at this issue of municipalization and how it might give us the opportunity to have local decision-making, to get more clean energy on our system, but also to have more of that built right here in Minneapolis. So our campaign goals look an awful lot like Boulder's. We want clean energy, we want reliable energy, we want affordable energy, and we want local energy. Those four things, we want them all together as part of this. We think all of them are equally important components of this as we go forward with whatever the appropriate option might be. And we think that we've got some great options, especially when it comes to clean energy. When you think about the time scale that we're looking at with these franchise agreements over 20 years, just look at what's happening to the cost of clean energy. This is the cost of solar in Minnesota without any subsidies. That's why the price is about 20 to 25 cents a kilowatt hour on the other end. And what's remarkable is how much it's fallen, by about 75% over that time period. And the cost continues to fall very rapidly. In the United States, it's fallen by about 50% in the past 5 years. So again, I want to emphasize that 20-year time scale is the commitment that we're making if we simply renew that franchise agreement. We have 20 years in which we could make a lot of other energy decisions, and that's why it's so important to keep our options open. So here's a few examples of clean energy accomplishments of other municipal utilities. This is the Sacramento Municipal Utility District in California. They're committed, along with their city, to a 90% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. They have 100 megawatts of solar installed in their community, in their utility district, many of it shading parking lots on buildings or near other large commercial industrial users. They have 230 megawatts of wind power. Granted, they cover some rural areas as well as a city area. And then we also have this issue of reliability. We think that there are great opportunities for clean energy, like in Sacramento, like in other communities that I can talk about later. But how do we figure out what the best choice is as far as reliability? And so we come to another poll question for you. What kind of utility, based on national statistics for utility reliability, is more reliable on average? An investor-owned utility for A, a municipal utility is B, or about the same for letter C. So how many takers do I have for investor-owned utilities, letter A? Wow. All right, then. How about municipal utilities? B. And how many think they're about the same? Okay. Boy, there's not any boosters of investor-owns here. But you're right. Municipal utilities are, on average, better. They have about half the outage time, on average, from some national statistics. There's also a great example that many of you in the back won't be able to see because I put the logo on the bottom, but the Winter Park, Florida is a community that recently established their own municipal utility within, I think it was in the last 5 years. And the reason was that they were having serious reliability concerns with their investor-owned utility. They tried to incorporate into the franchise agreement some reliability guarantees that would allow them to be sure that, you know, their business community would be able to have some confidence that electricity reliability issues would be dealt with. They were stonewalled, and therefore they decided we need to go ahead with municipalization because we need for our homes and for our businesses to be able to tell them that they will have reliable power. There's actually another great story of this in the Northeast United States after Hurricane Irene and then again after some enormous snowstorms went through last fall. Many municipal utilities were able to get the power back on within 24 hours. There are quite a few news stories about investor-owned customers or investor-owned utilities without power for as much as a week. And quite a few communities now interested in the idea of municipalizing their energy system, or in some cases even re-municipalizing, having sold their municipal system years ago, but now interested in taking it back in order to get more reliable service. And I think this is probably the best figure I can give in terms of reliability, is that 1 in 7 Americans are served by a municipal utility, including some of the largest cities in the country. If municipal utilities were terrible at reliability, I think we'd be hearing about it more often. So let's talk about the third thing. We've talked about clean energy and reliable energy. Let's talk about affordable energy, and I think this is a good illustration right here. When we want to go out and build new renewable energy systems, we want to build new infrastructure, we often have to borrow money to do that. And a bond rating is a good indication of what kind of interest rate you're going to pay, and the city of Minneapolis has a significantly better bond rating than Xcel Energy. So if we were to build a new solar plant, and it was a competition between Xcel and Minneapolis as to who could build it for cheaper, Minneapolis could win on the basis of being able to borrow money at a lower interest rate. And there are some other advantages that municipal utilities bring to the table when it comes to affordability. They don't pay taxes. They don't have shareholders. They have lower overhead, potentially, because they can share many of the same city resources, trucks, maintenance workers, to go out and do some of the utility work as they use for other city services. And finally, they have a common interest. Cities are not in it for electricity sales or for gas sales. They're interested in providing people with a reliable and affordable energy service. And if that means reducing sales, that's something that a city is willing to consider. The last example I want to give you of affordable energy with the municipal, this is taken from the website of Austin Energy, which is the municipal utility serving the city of Austin with about 1 million people in Texas. They're so affordable, they don't even have a logo. It's just austinenergy.com. They're spending their time focused on renewable energy. They have a goal of 35% renewable energy by 2020. So a little bit facetiously there, but as you can see, there are a lot of reasons why municipal utilities can provide affordable energy. The last thing I want to talk about is local energy. This is taken from a lot of the research that I do on the economic benefits of energy, because as much as we want to talk about the environmental benefits of focusing on clean energy and the battle against climate change, when it comes down to it, when a city or a community is interested in investing in energy, we're also looking for a return on that investment. And frankly, it's a lot better if we can own those energy systems than to just have somebody else build them. In fact, you can get as much as a 3.5 times multiplier to the economic return to the dollars cycling in your community if you have locally owned energy systems. A good example of this, Gainesville, Florida, is a municipal utility I mentioned earlier. They're a world leader in solar per capita. You know, again, a population of about 125,000. They've installed over 10 megawatts of solar. Not because they're spending more money than Minneapolis or than Xcel in terms of subsidies for solar, but in part because they've got a very smart solar program that allows for very easy participation. And as I mentioned before, this is also harkens back to that issue of municipal utilities having a common interest. They have a commitment to reduce electricity sales by 10% by 2015. I challenge you to find an investor-owned utility that has voluntarily made that same commitment. So they're getting more local energy like this. This is a solar array built on the rooftop of Quality Coaches, a small business in Kingfield neighborhood of Minneapolis, and I think that's something that we'd like to see a lot more of. The last thing I want to say about municipal utilities that I think is very important is that when we talk about Minneapolis considering becoming a municipal utility in terms of gas and electricity, it's important to remember they already are a utility and providing other services, and that people are very satisfied with that service. In their most recent customer satisfaction survey, 88% of Minneapolis residents were happy with their recycling, their garbage, and their water service. So, does that mean with all these benefits of municipal energy that we should just go ahead and form Minneapolis Gas and Electric today? We're at a crossroads. We want to explore our options. That's what this coalition is about. We are not about 100% driving toward this idea of municipalization, but to understand that we want it as a menu of options that we have available to pursue our clean energy goals. And we also want to be able to provide the city with some leverage, because frankly, when they sit down to have these franchise negotiations with Xcel and CenterPoint in 2014 and 2015, they need to have a credible alternative to offer. When they sit down with Xcel and say, you know, we want more clean energy, or we want more investments in energy efficiency, or we're concerned about reliability, Xcel Energy and CenterPoint are investor-owned utilities, and their shareholders will tell them, don't make any investment unless it's going to pay back. And the city needs to be able to offer an alternative to Xcel and CenterPoint to seriously consider the issues that they put on the table. So that's kind of what our campaign is about, and what our goal is right now is looking to do something very similar to what Boulder did, which is in the fall of 2013, have a measure on the ballot that offers people the opportunity to tell the city to go ahead and investigate that opportunity of forming a municipal utility, as long as it can meet those, and to do the research on whether or not it can meet all of our campaign goals of clean and local and reliable and affordable energy. I want to give you a chance to choose right now. There's a little sheet of paper on your table that looks a lot like this. You can learn more about this campaign. You can take a chance. You can sign up to say that you support Minneapolis Energy Options. You can sign up to volunteer to help us get the word out about this. You'll get an update maybe once a week about interesting things that we are learning in our exploration of our energy options, stories from other places like Boulder. We could really use your help. So join us. So I'm happy to take some questions. I believe Susan's going to come back up here, and thank you.
One quick question.